And be not faithless, but believing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today is Low Sunday, or the first Sunday after Easter. And on Low Sunday, we prepare ourselves returning to the regular time of the year after this great week, Easter week, with the its octave. On Low Sunday, it was also the first day when those newly baptized, who were baptized on Holy Saturday, put down their white baptismal garments. Those catechumens who gloriously were baptized on Holy Saturday, they were now full-pledged and full members of God's Holy Catholic Church. And after the glorious week of Easter, when they were all dressed in white garments, now they took off their baptismal gowns and returned to church as full members, as disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. And today's gospel shows us how our Lord, who is now gloriously resurrected, how he prepares his people, the disciples, the apostles, to the time when he has ascended to his Father and he is not with us anymore, physically teaching us and correcting us and telling us how to act in a proper manner. After our Lord has been ascended to heaven, it is the hour of his church. And it is the time of the apostles and the bishops and the priests to guide the faithful and to tell them how to live a life of grace so that after their death, they too might resurrect into eternal life. In today's gospel, Saint Thomas, who was not with the other apostles when Jesus first time appeared to them, he demanded evidence that it was truly Jesus whom the apostles had seen, and that it was the resurrected Lord. But he said to his fellow apostles, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And one notable thing in this is that it shows us that even after his resurrection, even when our Lord had his glorified body, was in his glorified body, he had not erased the marks of his passion, which he suffered during Holy Week. Of course, he could have erased the marks of the nails, which so cruelly tortured him during this Holy Week. But no, he returned to on this earth. He returned to be with us, with those five wounds visible in his body, as a soldier would show the honorable scars which he has gained in victorious battle. These marks were to prove to his disciples that our Lord had really and truly risen from the dead. Their faith and love revived instantly. Jesus had kept his promise of resurrection, and he had returned from the dead. So it was not surprising that Saint Thomas, when he demanded evidence, wanted to see if our Lord's five wounds were still intact with those. He namely Saint Thomas, demanded the testimony of the sense of touch. And when our Lord did appear to him after 1 week, he did what Saint Thomas had asked him to do. Saint Thomas could now see our Lord and touch him feel his five wounds and truly see and confess that it was his Lord and it was his God. Dear faithful, when we think of Saint Thomas, and when we think of the slight reproach which our Lord gave her to him, we should ask ourselves that, do we too often demand testimony? Do we too often demand some grounds in obeying or believing in what the Holy Catholic Church teaches? Because of the testimony of our Lord, we know that to the apostles it has been given now the job of doing what Jesus did. The apostles are meant to teach and to preach and to baptize and to forgive sins. In other words, they, the apostles, were now the leaders of the mystical body of Christ in this world, namely the Catholic Church. It is not, of course, wrong to demand to demand evidence if something new is to put in front of us. When some people who are not part of our faith ask us to prove our stance, of course, we should give them testimony and evidence. The science of defending your faith is called apologetics. And we Catholics, when we are in the midst of this world's sorrows and sins and temptations, we, if anyone, we should be like the apostles, or those who are ready to unconditionally pledge ourselves in the service of Christ's Church. Jesus Christ, he gave a slight reproach to Saint Thomas of his being incredulous, but he did not reprove Saint Thomas because he demanded evidence, but because he did not listen to the words of his fellow apostles. It was the testimony of the leaders of the church who had told Saint Thomas that we saw the Lord. And to that testimony, Saint Thomas should have heeded, but instead he wanted more proofs, and our Lord, in his ultimate compassion, provided him proofs. But our Lord also, in his reproof, told Saint Thomas that he should heed to the words of his fellow apostles. And Jesus said, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." When we think of ourselves as Christians, we should often ask of ourselves, do we always demand evidence why this is so, why we must do this, or why we cannot do that? Or are we ready just to believe what the Holy Mother Church teaches us and tells us to do, or not to do? Do you ever notice how little children, they very often ask from their mother or father that, why do I have to do this? Or why do I not, why cannot I do this? And whenever father or mother answers to them, because I tell you so, to the child, that is almost no time enough ground. The attitude of the Catholics should be different. To the apostles, it was given the power to teach, to preach, and to baptize, and to forgive sins. And to that power, we should honor, and we should give proper care that we are always ready to submit to the God's Holy Catholic Church. Should we ever feel tempted to doubt the words of the apostles, to doubt the words of the bishops or doubt the words of the priest who serve us. It would be kind of like demanding evidence. It's sometimes good to test what is good and proper and what is not. But a Catholic is also like a little child. When he is in front of the priest, he addresses to his father. And when proper things are respected, then we also become like the apostles in front of Jesus, ready to follow our Lord wherever he goes, whether it's in his passion, whether it's in his crucifixion, or in his glorious resurrection. The Holy Catholic Church is now the one who gives us grace. The Church, now when our Lord has resurrected and soon will be ascended to heaven, the Catholic Church is the one who gives us graces to live a good life on earth and eventually be happy forever in heaven. Now after Easter, we have started to return to the ordinary life again, to live a life in the world, but not to live the life in the world, but not being of the world. This Sunday in early church marked the return of the former catechumens to the ordinary life of the church. And now when the regular season of a church year is about to commence again, we should be thankful to God of his great church, who always guides us, who always protects us, and who also sometimes reproves us if we think of too much of ourselves. In our own earthly pilgrimage, our knowledge of God is one of faith, not always understanding. We should not give heed to the words and or convinces of the world, but those of God. And the voice of God is heard through his Catholic Church. Reason may and should be often very hard-headed, and right reason or our own will can never suffice for the faith which is childlike, the faith which is humble, and the faith which is always ready to hear the Church. This was the faith of the apostles, and this is the faith of ours. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.